Open your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came Jesus' scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Skip down to verse 7. "Ye hypocrites." Jesus never read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He didn't care about impressing the Pharisees. And neither should we. Amen. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" Skip down to verse 12. "Then came his disciples and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?'" Pharisees were very, very powerful in the Jewish world at that time, the most powerful influence among the Jews. The disciples were still sensitive to their power and influence, hence the question. "But he answered and said," and this verse and the next are really the focus of this message, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." The word "rooted up" means destroyed. "Let them alone," speaking of the Pharisees. Don't bother with them. Don't give them a second thought. "They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now, verse 13, I want to give you Matthew Henry's comment. "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Henry says, not only the corrupt opinions and superstitious practices of the Pharisees. I've talked about how Christian Zionism is a superstition. Do you remember that message? It's not even a religion. It is a superstition, as the doctrines of the Pharisees themselves were superstitions. Matthew Henry uses that word. "Not only the corrupt opinions and superstitious practices of the Pharisees, but their sect and way and constitution were plants not of God's planting. The rules of their profession were no institutions of His, but owed their origin to pride and formality. The people of the Jews were planted a noble vine," speaking of the Old Testament Israel, "but now that they are become the degenerate plant," Matthew Henry, "the degenerate plant of a strange vine, God disowned them as not of His planting. You see, that's why these modern Bible teachers will never reference these commentaries pre-20th century, because they told the truth about Israel. Adam Clark writes this about the same verse. The Pharisees, as a religious body, were now a plantation of trees which God did not plant, water, nor own. Therefore, they should be rooted up, not left and withered to die, not just fade away, but the fellers, F-E-L-L-E-R-S, fellers, that's not a southern twang for fellows. Feller is the guys that come along and cut down trees and then destroy the root. After they cut down the tree, they destroy the root of the tree. They fell or topple or cut down, fellers, trees. They're not going to just die away by age and wither, but the fellers and those who root up. And then he has in parenthesis, Adam Clark, the Roman armies. The Roman armies were the fellers. The Roman armies were the ones that came and rooted up and destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, and everything to do with the Jewish polity. Should come against and destroy them. And the Christian church was to be planted in their place. That drives Mike Huckabee insane. Since the general dispersion of the Jews, this sect, S-E-C-T, I believe, has ceased to exist as a separate body among the descendants of Jacob. They all recognized that Jerusalem had been destroyed, the Jewish nation had ceased to exist in its entirety. Now, verse 14, I want to quote Albert Barnes. If the blind lead the blind. This was a plain proposition. A blind man attempting to conduct blind men would fall into every ditch that was in the way. So with religious teachers. If these Pharisees themselves, ignorant and blind, should be suffered to lead the ignorant multitude, both would be destroyed, the leaders and the led. This was another reason for confuting their errors or for rooting up the plants which God had not planted. He wished by doing it to save the deluded multitude. God often suffers one man. Now, this is an important paragraph, and something that is difficult for us, but this is reality. And if we live in reality, we must accept this as reality. God often suffers one man to lead many to ruin. Can anyone say John Hagee? Yeah. A rich and profligate man, profligate means wicked. A rich and profligate man, an infidel, a man of learning, a politician, or a teacher is allowed to sweep multitudes to ruin. This is not unjust. And here's the key point. For those who are led are not compelled to follow such people. They are free in choosing such leaders. And they are answerable for being led to ruin. You know, we tend to say, oh, I feel so sorry for these people that are sitting under all these false teachers. Why? Why would you feel sorry for them? They have a will. They have a mind. They have a heart. They can choose to reject their blasphemies any day they want to. They can choose to walk away from their false teachers and seek truth any day they want to. They choose to stay in those pews. They choose to watch those apostates on television or on the internet. They choose to send them their money. They choose to support them of their own free will. They are as culpable for the blasphemous teachings of the teacher as is the teacher, because they are a willing participant and follower of the falsehoods that the teacher teaches. That's a great point. I think we need to start letting that absorb into our minds and our hearts and stop making excuses for these people that willingly choose to follow this apostasy that's all around us. Granted, there are those that are like us who were deceived in ignorance, and we did not follow out of conviction, we followed out of ignorance. Paul said the same thing when he was persecuting the church. Paul said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I thought I was serving God. I was not aware in my heart of what I was doing. There's a lot of people like that. And I believe that people who are like that, people who truly are ignorant of truth, but who desire to know truth, I am convinced the Holy Spirit will lead them into truth. I truly believe that. Albert Barnes is not talking about those. He's talking about the people that are willingly participating in falsehood because they enjoy the falsehood that they are hearing. They want to hear falsehood. They choose to hear falsehood. They don't want to hear truth. That's why when you try to talk to people about the truth of what's going on today and they react so hostily against what you're saying, they are proving that they are willing to listen and follow falsehood, that their ears are closed to the truth. When the disciples and when Jesus himself walked Jerusalem and Palestine and they would preach the gospel of Christ to the Jews, many of them would put their hands to their ears and refuse to hear what the disciples were saying. This was not something done in ignorance. This was something done willfully, deliberately. I choose to believe what I believe because I want to believe it. Not because I know it's true, but because it's what I want to hear. It makes me feel good. It suits my fancy. It allows me to operate under this system in a way that I'm comfortable with. It is a willing ignorance that the Bible talks about. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet said much the same. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail. I mean, that's pretty much all of it, isn't it? I mean, the head, all the way from the head to the tail. And tail, and branch, and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. Verse 16, the important verse. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. That's why Jesus said, when the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. If you're following an apostate teacher, your end will be the same as the apostate teacher's end will be. You will share the same fate. John Gill writes about this passage, the leaders of this people caused them to err. Gill says, or who bless the people, or who praise this people, that call them blessed, pronounce them happy, and promise them happiness, both in this world and that to come, though guilty of notorious sins, and live a vicious course of life, and so harden them in their iniquities, and cause them to wander more and more from the way of truth and righteousness, and lead them unto and leave them in fatal mistakes about their state and condition. These seem to design, again, John Gill, predecessor to Charles Spurgeon, the ecclesiastical leaders of the people, the blind leaders of the blind, the religious leaders, more so than the political leaders. Not that the political leaders are guiltless when they lead people to error, not when the rich class, the wealthy, lead people into error. Not that they're innocent, not at all. But the ecclesiastical, the church leaders, the religious leaders are the most culpable of all. Because they are the ones that claim to speak for God. They are the ones who should know God. Those are the ones who have the opportunity to study the principles of God and the truths of God, and who choose to preach error to the people. That's why I keep saying over and over again, the chief problem in America is not the White House, no matter who's in it. The chief problem is the church house. The pastors are the chief problem in the United States of America. Today, blind evangelical people are willingly being led by blind Christian Zionist pastors. I submit that Christian Zionism is more than a deception. It is a supernatural spell. As in a witch's spell, or the spell of an enchanter. I say that because of Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what Paul said to the Galatian Christians. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who has cast a spell on you? Albert Barnes writes, the word here properly means to prate about anyone and then mislead by pretenses as if by magic arts. To fascinate. To influence by a charm. The idea here is that they had not been led by reason and by sober judgment, but that there must have been some charm or fascination to have taken them away in this manner from what they had embraced as true. And what they had the fullest evidence was true. Paul had sufficient confidence in them, to believe that they had not embraced their present views under the unbiased influence of judgment and reason. But there must have been some fascination or charm by which it was done. It was, in fact, accomplished by the arts and the plausible pretenses of those who came from among the Jews. Close quote. The Jewish religion is filled with mysticism. Kabbalah itself is a mystical bewitchment type of religion. If you've read Michael Hoffman's book, Judaism, Strange Gods, you are a little bit more intelligent on this subject than those who have not read the book. He goes into detail to describe the things that I'm here now talking about briefly. But the mysticism, the enchantment, the bewitchment of Judaism is ubiquitous. I don't think it's my place here and now to go into some of the details of what these bewitchments and superstitions and charms entail. I will just tell you that what we have read in the e-files, you know what I mean by e-files, is in part a reflection of the allegiance of, we call them the billionaire class. Really, what we're talking about is the E-class. The billionaire class is the E-class. They are absorbed with witchery, occultism, the sacrifices, the mutilations that are taking place among the E-class, some of which we know if we have looked at closely the e-files that we have access to, of which, of course, there's still 3 million pages that Pam Bondi is hiding. If you know anything about Kabbalism and the witchery and the things that Albert Barnes is describing here, you will recognize it as soon as you see it from those e-files. You say, how could this kind of conduct be committed by anyone of sane mind? What you have to realize is these men are not sane. No one who gives themselves over to satanic rituals, dark arts, the sorceries, and the rituals of those arts is sane. They are not sane. They can have $1 billion in the bank. That does not make them sane. Money has never made anyone saner than he was before he had money. But money has driven a lot of people to insanity that were not insane before they got rich. That's why the apostle said, the love of money is the root of all evil. That includes the evil we're talking about here. Yes, sir. These men were engaging in the dark arts, satanic rituals. And going back to the Old Testament days when the pagan nations would offer their children to the fire of Molech. And you remember my series on the wars of the Jews in the Old Covenant. You remember my four-part series on that. If you have not watched those, please watch them. And I went into detail about these matters. Because not only did the Canaanites offer their children to the god Molech, the children of Israel did the same thing. It has always been a delight of Satan to do harm to the most innocent. Whereas a normal person, whether they're saved or not, has empathy for innocent people, whether they are elderly, incapacitated, children, unborn children. The most innocent and helpless among us, rational people, again, saved or not, have a natural conscience of empathy toward innocent life. So we're talking about people that are not sane. We're talking about people that have no empathy for suffering people, hurting people, innocent people. In fact, they have delight in causing people to suffer and to hurt and to die. So when we talk about the billionaire class, we're talking about the E class. We're talking about a class of men without conscience, who have given themselves over to satanic sorcery, yes, and who are worshiping their god through the harm and the hurt and the pain that they inflict upon innocent human beings. And until we begin to understand that, you're never going to understand what we are dealing with in Washington, D.C. You can forget political parties. You can forget conservative and liberal. There are liberals that we would disagree with politically, who have conscience, yes, and empathy toward the helpless and the innocent. And there are people that call themselves conservatives that we might agree with politically that have zero compassion and empathy for people that are hurting and helpless. Christian Zionism is a supernatural spell. Amen. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3:1. You have been bewitched, yes, by these Judaizers who are filled with enchantment. The rich and powerful are, as I just alluded to, part of inflicting this devilish blindness upon the masses. For decades, the rich and famous have been paraded before us as role models to admire and emulate. I lived through the apex of the church prosperity movement. I was trained in that movement. In my young ministerial days, I was caught up with the philosophies of that movement. But even in the secular world, the rich and famous were all over television, magazines, back before the internet, in the media at large. They were the featured guests on the talk shows. They were featured in full biographical programs. How you can do what they did, how you can become a billionaire, if you learn these 20 secrets, buy my book, and you can be a billionaire like me. And they have their pictures taken in front of their yachts and their Lear jets and their $1,000 suits, their gold rings. And people watching that are enamored by their success. They begin to emulate them. The whole positive thinking mentality grew out of that. This prosperity gospel, like Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and all these other false prophets, they've made billions off people's offerings who want to be rich like they are. Kenneth Copeland brags about being a billionaire. He had a reporter ask him one time, "Well, you're a millionaire," and he stopped her and said, "No, ma'am, I am not a millionaire. I am a billionaire." He said audaciously on television. He brags about having not a Lear jet. He has a fleet of personal jets. He brags about it. And people out there follow this. Oh, I want to be like Kenneth Copeland. Oh, man, it'd be so cool to be able to have your own jet. Boy, I want to have that kind of money. And like I said, the religious realm was just as caught up with it as the secular realm. So these men were paraded before us for decades as models of success. In the church realm, the entire focus of their ministry, quote unquote, is success. And there's still a bunch of them out there. Success is defined, of course, by large crowds, big offerings, ornate buildings, large staffs, the aura and tapestry of wealth. That's success. And they strive for success. And one of the things you are taught, if you, as a preacher, if you want to be successful, you cannot, all capital letters, underline, you cannot be controversial. You never say anything about politics one way or the other. You avoid any social issue that might stir division among people. Well, that cuts out abortion. That cuts out theft and stealing and graft and lying and cheating. And you know, it cuts all that. So you don't talk about any of that. You don't want to alienate anybody. Because after all, you want to be successful. And to be successful means you need all of them coming to church. You need all of them giving their money. You need all the buildings to house them and all the programs to entertain them. And there are churches today that operate, there are churches in this town that operate on exactly that model. I want you to turn in your Bible, and I want you to read this, because I want you to see this as I read it. James chapter 2. I'm beginning reading in verse 1. Listen to James. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, the expensive, showy clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. You have a special seat. And say to the poor, you don't get to sit down at all. You stand over there. Or you sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to live to them that love him? Verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Now the next verse is very important. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law, I love that phraseology, the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If you put the rich on a pedestal above the poor, you are a sinner in transgression against God. But I want you to notice in verse 6, do not rich men oppress you. Adam Clark writes this short commentary, the words exceedingly oppress, and in the Greek, the word oppress means exceedingly oppress, and drag or draw you to courts of justice, show how grievously oppressed and maltreated the Christians were by their countrymen, the Jews, who made law a pretext to afflict their bodies and spoil them of their property. What's going on in Gaza today? Jews who make law a pretext to afflict their bodies and spoil or steal their property. That is exactly what the Israelis have been doing to the Palestinians, whether they're Muslims or Christians, ever since the genocide began over 2 years ago. James, who are the people that are oppressing you? Who are the people that are using the law to put you in jail? Who are the people that are stealing your property? Who are the people that are beating you? Who are the people that are persecuting you? The rich. The billionaire class, the E class. Most of the billionaire class in the world today is composed of Zionists. both Jewish and Christian. That is undeniable truth. The vast majority of all the billionaires in the world are Zionists. Some are Jewish Zionists, some are Christian Zionists, but they're Zionists. Peter Thiel, as an example, owner of Palantir and close friend of E, who is oft mentioned in the E-files, and scores of others of his ilk that I could name, are in the process of creating digital prisons for anyone in the world who does not bow the knee to Israel. In later messages, I'll go into more detail on this. But if you think what I just said is hyperbolic, you're not paying attention. You're uneducated and don't know what's going on. Get your eyes off of sports long enough to do a little truthful investigation of fact. Stop listening to the major media and start doing your own research. This Board of Peace that Trump has created in Gaza is the most misnamed entity to ever exist. It is not a board of peace. It is a board of subjugation. It is the prototype for global incarceration of anybody who does not submit to Zionism. They are building a digital prison camp in Gaza. All of the Gazans who will not submit to their new order in Palestine. And you notice how many of the billionaire sheikhs of the Muslim world are part of this Board of Peace. It's not old-fashioned steel bars, concrete, towers, guards with mini-14s. It's all digitally done. But it is tyranny just the same. It's just more efficient and more impossible to escape. This is the prototype. This is the brainchild of Jared Kushner, who is an open Chabadist. The Chabadist is the extremist Kabbalah mystic version of Judaism. And the Chabadists have dominated the Trump administration. Peter Thiel is a part of that. There are, off my head, at 2 or 3 dozen Peter Thiel acolytes in Trump's administration. Among the files that were released in this last e-dump, people have focused on the grotesque sexual misconduct of these Satanists. And I can certainly understand that we would be definitely right to want to know who they are. By the way, have you noticed that the names of most of these men have still been redacted and have not been told exactly who they are? We know that Trump's name is in the latest batch over 1 million times. Not 3,000 times, 1 million times. But what you did not notice probably is there is a part of those files that documented how the FBI ran an investigation of the influencers within the Trump administration. And the FBI report said that Jared Kushner is the brains of the Trump administration. He is the man who sets the agenda for the Trump administration. And he said the Chabadist religion, this extremist form of Judaism, they were founded by this rabbi named Schneerson. S-C-H-N-E-E-R-S-O-N. Schneerson. The Chabadists believe that Schneerson is the Messiah. Schneerson died a few years ago. They believe that as soon as the third temple is built, which so many evangelicals are all excited, they're giddy about the third temple being built. When the third temple is built, Schneerson is going to rise from the dead, sit on the throne of the new Holy of Holies, and he will be worshipped as the Messiah. So that is the Messiah that they are working toward. It's not the second coming of Jesus Christ. These evangelical Zionists are so stupid. I hate to say that, but it's that's what they are supporting. But it was in the FBI report that the Chabadists were the most pervasive influence within the Trump administration. That was in the e-files that were just released that most people have totally looked over. Which means we have a president who is not controlled by the Constitution of the United States. He's not controlled by the Congress of the United States. He's not controlled by the people of the United States. He's not controlled by God or the moral laws of God. He's controlled by a cultic, mystic, Chabadist, satanic system to which he owes his allegiance. As bad as you think Trump and his administration is, it is 100 times worse than you can possibly imagine. We could be in a major war by this time next Sunday. The Gerald R. Ford pulled into the Mediterranean today. Within the next week, 10 days at the most, I think maybe before then, the United States is going to launch an all-out military assault against Iran at the behest of Israel. Iran poses zero threat to the security of the United States of America. Mr. Peace President is about to take us into a major war. All of the experts that I have followed on this subject, military experts, intelligence experts, are saying if Trump does indeed follow through and begin this assault, this is going to be war unlike anything we've seen since the Second World War. It's going to cost 10,000s of American lives. It's going to interrupt the oil supply, the global oil supply, to the point that it's never been, never happened. The price of a barrel of oil will top $100 overnight, and it'll go up from there. Iran is ready for this war. Militarily, they are prepared. In the intelligence world, they are compared. Russia and China are helping Iran in the intelligence sector and in the weapons sector. Israel itself could cease to exist by the time this war ends. No, I'm sorry, you have evangelical Zionists, excuse me. The Israel in Palestine tonight, today, is not a resurrected biblical Israel, and it is not promised perpetuity of any kind. Amen. It is not. It will fall. It will collapse. It's only a matter of when and how. But it will. And then all you Christian Zionist preachers out there, they call me all kinds of dirty names. When it happens, you're going to have a fun time trying to now explain how that happened and what the Bible teaches about it. Have fun. Have fun. Have fun trying to reconcile that with what you have taught your people all of your life. Have fun. Do I know that this is going to happen? Of course not. Am I prophesying? No. I'm just looking at the reality of international affairs, and I'm looking at the mindset of a completely satanically controlled president who is already all out of his mind, is in the midst of frontal lobe dementia, a man who has no feeling or compassion for anyone or anything that suffers or hurts. You weren't expecting this one, were you? It's the Zionist billionaire E-class that's bribing our members of Congress and blackmailing Donald Trump. It is the Zionist billionaire E-class that is orchestrating America's forever wars for Israel, including war with Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, the West Bank, Gaza, Venezuela, and now Iran. It is the Zionist billionaire E-class that manipulates the U.S. Treasury, Federal Reserve, and America's economic policies to enrich themselves off the inflation and debt of the working people in this country. The American people should be righteously indignant at what the E-class is doing to us economically. James said it, do not rich men oppress you? Answer, yes. Do not the Zionist billionaire class foment hatred in the hearts of evangelicals for their Christian brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Iran, and anywhere else that Israel chooses to go to war? Yes, they do. Hey, wait a minute. We have Christian brothers and sisters in Palestine. We have in the West Bank, in Gaza, in Iraq, in Syria, large Christian population in Syria, that the militant Al-Qaeda leader that was given an invite to the White House by the President of the United States and says he's our good friend and ally, 20 years ago was chopping the heads off of American GIs in Iraq. Now he is the U.S.-backed president of Syria. What's one of the first things he did after he took over Syria? He started annihilating and killing en masse Christians in Syria. Gentile Christianity began in Syria. Acts chapter 12. Still many Christians are. Christians in Iran by the thousands. Worshiping in religious freedom in Iran. You go to the churches of America and say, wait a minute. So we're going to bomb Iran. We're going to destroy Iran. We're going to kill tens of thousands of Christians. So? So what? What is that to me? They have created hatred in the hearts of evangelicals and other people in America for anyone who's not an American. If you're not American, then you can be killed. And if you are an American, you can be killed if you don't do what we tell you to do. You don't believe that? Just go to Minneapolis, Minnesota and ask the people there. Hatred in the heart, fomented by this elite class which dominates the media, the press, the information age. First John chapter 2:11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. These people are blinded, folks. I mean, they're blind. Blind leaders of the blind. I say again, I close. It is the new covenant of Jesus Christ that opens the eyes and sets men free. Amen. The new covenant strips the scales of spiritual blindness from our eyes and strips the scales of spiritual hatred from our hearts. Flee to the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Embrace Him. Trust Him. Put your heart to studying what he taught in his new covenant. And I'm telling you, not only will the Bible come alive when you see the world through the prism of the new covenant, but you will also see what's happening around you with a clarity that you've never seen before. And the people that are providing you the misinformation to try and keep you deceived will no longer be able to do so. You will have the clarity of thought and mind to see the truth and see the error when you see it. I tell you, if the churches of America today were preaching the new covenant of Jesus Christ that we preached for hundreds of years before Mr. Scofield came onto the scene, we would not be in the condition we are as a country today, economically, governmentally, morally, spiritually, militarily, geopolitically. We would not be having any of these problems if the pastors were teaching their people the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the truth. Amen. I will say it, and I'll say it until God takes me home. The new covenant of Jesus Christ is man's answer. Let's stand for prayer.